truth is fiction. This is the Morning Peanut.
Whoever named the Canadian River found his ex-wife and remarried her. But his wife would have none of it. The Morning Peanut. In a moment, I'll tell you the incredible story of the longest and shortest mold. They both lived to celebrate somewhere else. The Morning Peanut.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know what to do, Joe.
I got no place to turn. There's nothing I can do.
Well, come on. What's it all about?
Who do you talk to when you find out your son's an addict?
When did you first figure that he might be using narcotics?
He's a dope addict, Joe. It's all I could do to keep my hands off him.
All right, now what's he done, Ed?
First, I couldn't believe it, but tonight Ellen and I went through his room.
Mm-hmm.
We found this.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you find this, Ed?
In his room.
Yeah.
Had it hidden up on the shelf in his closet. I found it tonight.
Looks like a...
Self-genius. Power of...
Why?
Stang has proven hardy. Bart Stang. The chances of him...
Oh, Stang.
From the Spanish Mesteño, meaning untamed. Stang weakening, all for the sake of money. And you know it. You've taken him so very far, stud. Pull out now, Stang, and I'll come, stud. Are you willing to kill him? Bart, Stang. Pull out now, Stang, and I'll come.
Bringing on sex and think about romance, think about fatal attractions. You will groan when your flesh and body are spent. The lips drip honey, honey. Drink come, great job. A relationship, sex. May your fountain be blessed. May her breast satisfy you at all times. To have a growing correction. Let me share with you today. Enter into the arena of sexual. You know what? Every now and then I just have to come. Are you ready? So beautiful and so harmless and so wonderful. Sexual landmine. Flirt and to flatter. Listen to me, fellas. I want every guy in the room to lock eyes with me for just a second. Blush in your heart. Your words say no, but your eyes say yes. Look lustfully at a woman, at a girl. Sexual landmine. Maximize. Listen well to my words of insight. Smoother than oil. I got news for you. Are you listening? Can anyone help me? Do you have any suggestions?
If you love Bob, come with me. Yes, that was a wonderful number by our orchestra organist, Raymond Price, here on the Bob Hour.
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad to have you here. My wife, Zelma. Our dog, Snavely.
Did you tell him about Bob?
Okay, sit down, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me out there? Yeah, I think it's time for a song. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to hear a song?
Bob sucks.
Crop his ass.
Kill him.
Goon squad.
Fucking annoyed normal goddamn.
Careful, my young students. You cannot stay in this state all day.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It is inevitable that you are drawn back into human drama, desire, suffering, everything that exists in this imperfect world.
Shit.
So we get drawn back into human drama and how important we think that is. Then we do crazy stuff. We have to go back to the ball so we can get the freedom of being like a dish of mold.
Yes, and then back to the drama, the suffering.
It's kind of a crappy deal.
C'est exactement ça. An absurd theatrical we must play out back and forth from pure being to human suffering.
But isn't the drama and suffering less if we do the ball thing every day?
Don't call it the ball thing. Call it pure being.
Well, doesn't the pure being ball thing make the day-to-day suffering easier?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
You're wrong. No, we're going to do this every day. We'll show you. It'll make it easier.
I'll prove it to you. Human drama is inevitable. Suffering cannot be diminished. You cannot escape, Tommy. You'll see. Existence is a cruel joke that entices in a form of desire.
It's a theater of desire.
Oh no, buddy, it hurts. It's painful.
Mr. Data, what do you know of homosexuality?
Intriguing. Accessing. It appears to be a means of pleasuring between two males. But I am curious as to why you should ask me such a question.
Mr. Data, As your commanding officer, you must obey any order, no matter how deranged or insane I choose to give.
That is correct, sir. Federation dictates it.
Mr. Data, I'm going to take down my Starfleet regulation issue trousers, and when I do, I want you to drive me home.
I must obey any order you give me.
Make it so. Engage.
You must stop. You must stop or you will hurt the captain. You have killed the captain. You have ruptured him in two. He is cleft.
Out of 10 top Hollywood stars depend on facials to keep their skin just right for the camera.
There's a reason why this fragrant white facial is the choice of lovely women everywhere. In recent tests, facials really make skin lovelier in a short time. The right care for delicate skin.
I am the Keymaster.
I am the Gatekeeper.
Cracklin' Rosie, get on board. We're gonna ride till there ain't no more to go. Taking it slow. Lord, don't you know? I'll have me a time with a poor man's lady. Hitching on a twilight train. Ain't nothing here that I'd care to take along. Maybe a song to sing when I want. No need to say please to no man for a happy tune. Oh, I love my Rosie child. Make me smile. Girl, if it lasts for an hour, well, that's alright. We got all night to set the world right. Find us a dream, but don't ask no questions, yeah. Oh, I love my rosy child.
Cracklin' Rosie by the Rudy Schwartz Project. You can learn more about the Rudy Schwartz Project CDs. There are quite a few of them. From schwartztone.com. We'll give that address again later. This is a sexy hour of slack, dear friends. Number 1068. Bob Core, baby. I'm going to do the credits differently this time. I've got to prepare my online course in subgeniusness with maybe Logic Academy. I'm Professor Stang now, and I'm in a big hurry. That's maybelogic.org, by the way. Anyway, the show started with Lemur, as always, just about always, one of his intro cut-ups. The Geeks of Dubious Sexuality helped us out there with a little Stangian cut-up. Noriel Pref did a great job. And the Bob Hour there was Sterno, Pope Sterno Docs and Doctors for Bob from Media Barrage number 4 in 1981 or something. A little clip from a movie called I Heart Huckabees, which is a wonderful movie. The Tasteless Star Trek cut was from National Cynical Network, and there will be more of that. And there is more of that at nationalcynical.com. Lemur did some facials, and friends, that's about it. In fact, he's going to do a little bit more facializing here. Back to now, Lemur.
Bob hanging down here at Uncle Bob's Stinkfinger Cafe. Got a lot of free stuff to give away. Got the happening eyeliners and lipsticks for all you teens of the unmale persuasion. Yes, all you hipster chicks. Got over 50 pairs of Doc Martens for all those cuties under 110 and 5'4". That's right, if you're under 18 and got the face of a China doll. Never much cared for guys your own age. And Uncle Bob's is the place. Gonna lay down like this now. Look up some skirts. Oh yeah. Panties not allowed here, Uncle Bob. No sort of underwear allowed. I'm the coolest catch this side of the Rio. If you're missing a wiener and don't like school, then don't be a fool. Get on down up here to the Stinkfinger Cafe. Open 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. every weekday by special permission of the government, state license board. An oasis of fresh butterfly lips and adolescent sweater fruit, all ripe and throbbing for Uncle Bob and his heavy meat gristle. Yes. Don't be scared, lovely ladies. That's just a little bug that hangs out of my mouth, kicking back on the flip side.
Hey there, my name is Bud. I like to drink something red. It has a sort of funny smell, and it comes from a hot hole. But I can't tell you where that hole is. I like to laugh at celebrity suicides. I like it when little children are used as human shields. I'm the one who shot Kennedy. Me, Buck, and not Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm the one you should be praying to now. Pray to me now! Now! I want everyone to die so they can all go back to heaven and relax. I'm tired of wearing this body. Have to feed it. Have to keep it moist. Have to constantly protect it from those who want to hurt Bug or eat him. Also, I get these terrible pains in my anal region that hurt really bad. Yeah, they make green slimy snot gush out of my butt, and this causes hemorrhoids. And because I'm a bug and not a dog or person, I can't reach back and scratch them, and they itch terribly. I have to get back to Uncle Bob's mouth now so I can rub my butt across one of his teeth and leave bloody poopy smears.
Yeah, whoever smelt it.
Just yesterday... A friend of mine sniffed out a tropical tree some 100 yards away, exclaiming about the power of the scent. I smelled
nothing.
Does he
have a history of this in his family?
Until I pushed, her family. I pushed one of the deep, creamy white blossoms
flush
with my
clean.
Nose. And then I detected only a mild, musky odor. I'm sorry, but it is the really, same when we go mushrooming as well. You mushrooming, you know?
A mushrooming
She's always
problem.
The first to realize that stinkhorns are about.
All right, now stop right there.
Stinkhorns, as you may know, are very dramatic mushrooms with names like Phallus impudicus.
Yes, they're the drama queens of the fungal world.
Which erect from the soil in a form so true to their name that is scarcely credible, and whose aroma brings in sticky-footed flies, which will then disperse their spores.
And the point of all this
I usually see them as soon as I smell them. Our difference in olfactory acumen has nothing to do with, say, the considerable difference in the size of our respective proboscis.
Don't underestimate the humble fly. Just let me get my sleeping bag packed up here, and I'll be...
Yes, I wish you'd quit fidgeting. We're trying to get some...
Whoa!
Oh, no, he's rolled into the...
terrible. Tree. I'm sorry.
Oh, now you're sleeping. How are you going to sleep in a wet sleeping bag?
I'll have to find somebody with a dry sleeping bag. A warm, dry
Try those
bag.
Little children over there in that campsite that doesn't have any...
pants?
Any pants on it.
Frotter Sodi noise there. Actually, I have no idea if that's the way his name is pronounced or if he's even a he, but I'm pretty sure he is. Anyway, before that, Puzzling Evidence from KPFA in Berkeley with Dr. Howell and Dr. Philo Drummond. And you can find all kinds of that sort of thing by way of quiveringbrain.com. That's Philo's website. Before that, Uncle Bob and Bug was from National Cynical Network. See nationalcynical.com for more of that. Thanks to Phineas Narco. And now let us hie to 9X Day for the oracle that we call the Ask Dr. Hal Show. Here's one that will require visual aids, I think.
Oh, all right.
What is the nature of the symbol atop this staff? See brandished item.
Look at that.
Middle Eastern fellow brandishing a...
What a beautiful staff it is. A staff
That's
of the Masonic order from a symbolic activity performed by the nobles of the Masonic temple. And the crescent of the Masonic order is there with three links attached to it. Now, for those three links, you would have to go into or perhaps past weirdos like Manly Palmer Hall, who said in his book, The Secret Teaching of All Ages, that these three links completely were equivalent to the Christian faith, hope, charity, or the Trinity itself of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But, of course, anything might be possible. The central figure is time. And this shows that this primitive precursor to the Church of the Subgenius, the Masonic Order, was also concerned with the problem of time control, one which, as subgeniuses, concerns us all.
By the way, that Manly P. Hall's classic book of the kind of an occult encyclopedia is now free online.
But that isn't as fun as the huge, bad-smelling book itself with a black leather cover that you have to haul down and open up.
Actually, my dad gave me his gilt-edged copy of that book.
He had the deluxe copy.
It's a really important book to those of us who have put together Subgenius books.
It is proto-Subgenius stuff.
We do not so much stand on the shoulders of giants as we hump furiously at the backs of the necks of giants. And the Manly P. Hall is one of those giants. If you ever get a chance to look through his huge book, which is half illustrations, it may answer some of the questions you've wondered about looking through Book of the Subgenius and Revelation X. As above, so below.
Well, many of the figures in his giant text have to do with alchemical symbology and allegory, and what's odd is the sort of weak, namby-pamby way they're shown instead of the vigor of the actual alchemical texts and books, if you look at them or if you see them.
I will say this. If you are thinking of starting your own religion, Manly P. Hall's Secret Wisdom of All Ages is a great handbook.
He's been there.
Yeah, in all of them.
Excuse me, Lieutenant. You seem to have lost the will to communicate with others. So, there was a young lady from Venus whose body was shaped like a...
I do not enjoy riddles.
Did I say something wrong?
It is a secret note only to Klingons.
You have friends here.
With all due respect, it is very difficult to say. Words are not always easy for me. Be gone!
I care about you.
Enough!
Of course, but I am programmed in multiple techniques.
For what we consider love, sir, I would need a Klingon woman.
A broad variety of pleasuring.
Klingons do not allow themselves to be probed. It could be a dangerous mission.
Shall we begin?
It is very difficult to say. But I know you will do the right thing.
Push it in, pull it in, push it in, pull it in.
Every gal in town is after little Goop. He's the biggest trimming, kissing pretty women. Let me whisper, what's your secret fashion? Little average as sport.
We call great spirit.
Where's the axe?
I love Goop. I don't care.
Oh, I'm coming.
Well, it's about time.
More poke. He's stupid.
Big lummox.
Stink, poke for lunch, poke.
Bob.
You mean that big, handsome boy?
Bob.
Oh! Oh, my Oh! I'll never be able to understand technique.
Oh. Big sloppy.
Oh! Quit complaining, Lucifer.
Brown.
Bob, Bob, sweet patootie. Come on, stick it out. Stick it way out. I'm going to make love to her like she always wanted me to.
Most ignoramus critter I ever did see.
I'm going to make love to you. Powerful, romantic love.
Enormous corn pawn.
He's hurt. What?
Her and her husband was young and miserable with one another, like so many young married folks are. I thought they'd change with some age, but it didn't turn out that way.
Being married always so miserable?
No, not really. About 80% of the time, I guess.
I'm in the other 20%, friend, so thanks to Mula Mutata for the movie clips, and before that, The Pork was by Norel Pref and is from the 1940 Little Abner movie. Rudy Schwartz Project did Don't Pull Your Love, and Data and Worf Have Sex was courtesy of National Cynical Network. And now, more Dr. Howell on sexual dimorphism.
Millions of years ago, giant dinosaurs roamed the earth. The Atlantosaurus stretched out its long neck, its tiny eyes darting to and fro, as its wet and wide mouth opened to roar inanely in the Jurassic song. Now, what of dimorphism, sexual dimorphism, in the dwarf male in humans? What is this twilight world? This world that fears the rising sun? In snow geese, which nest in tightly packed colonies, it has been shown that mated males will try to force copulation on neighboring females. They defend their own female mate until all her eggs are laid, and then they make attempts on nearby females. This mixed strategy might result in their fertilizing only one more egg on average, or sometimes even less, but this is still a significant genetic payoff. Access to eggs can be achieved by less overt methods than goose rape, gift-giving, or bloody combat. There is a strategy that seems almost unbeatable, and I wonder why. Ignominious though it may seem, more males have not pursued it. It is to become a resident dwarf. Some males become miniaturized, living inside or on the females as a portable sperm bank. Darwin discovered this strategy when he worked on barnacle taxonomy. In some species, he found the males had degenerated into tiny, teensy, weensy, almost parasitic forms consisting of little more than reproductive organs with a crude physiology supporting testicles. These degenerate males led some observers to claim that the females were hermaphrodites, or as said in the East Coast of the Americas, morphodites. But actually, the male has evolved to become almost purely a copulatory organ, permanently lodged in residence. Do I have to draw you a picture? This kind of strategy has led to some of the more extreme forms of sexual dimorphism. In the vertebrates and the insects, extreme sexual dimorphism normally is because of selection for the male fighting and weaponry used to acquire a harem. When a male opts for an unshakable monogamy, the opposite dimorphism develops. One well-known case is the marine echeuroid worm, Bonilia, common in the rocky bays of the Pacific Northwest and in the Mediterranean. When young Bonilia hatch, they are sexually undifferentiated free-swimming larvae.
The transformation of their tabula rasa is affected by the bottom on which they settle. If it is unoccupied, the larva becomes a female. She grows into what is essentially a giant tongue, almost 3 feet long, with a walnut-sized body at one end. She uses her huge proboscis to pick up food from the bottom around her. Males originate when a larva smells the scent of the female's outsized tongue. If undifferentiated larvae are placed in an aquarium with chopped-up female tongue or an extract of the proboscis, they change into tiny males, scarcely more than 1/20th of an inch long. In nature, the dwarf male settles on a female proboscis, transforms, then lodges himself in his mate's uterus or beside it. There he remains for life, leaking out sperm at appropriate moments. This strategy is known for marine sow bugs and for some nematodes parasitic in rat bladders, but it is not only of the lowly orders. There are dwarf male fish, various species of deep-sea anglerfish are dramatically dimorphic. The female is a fearsome-looking predator of the abysmal, dark lower reaches of the ocean. She has a thick-set body with massive jaws, well-armed with teeth and a luminous lure. This latter wobbly, wiggly appendage is an organ developed from the first spine on her dorsal fin, which projects out in front of her toothy mouth and blinks, luring inquisitive victims. Male anglerfish are so completely different that some were classified as separate species until taxonomists discovered them in connection with their female mates. The male starts off as an unremarkable, surface-dwelling young fish. But after a while, he develops immense nostrils. And instead of a luminous lure, he grows a special tooth-bearing bone from his first dorsal spine. His mission is to find, perhaps smell out, a female and clamp securely onto her. In some cases, the attachment becomes permanent. The male literally becomes part of the female. He grows into her in such a way that their circulatory systems fuse, and the male's mouth parts are completely useless for feeding. He depends entirely on the female. Presumably, he even reads the hormonal messages of her bloodstream to determine when he is to let go his cloud of sperm in one ecstatic moment. The dwarf male has traded mobility and the opportunity for multiple mates for a relatively secure monogamy. This strategy has been explained as an adaptation to females that are rare and widely dispersed. But it argues against the virtues of monogamy for the male individual, since it shows that its evolutionary end is a degenerate dependence, even parasitism. This will be the case where the environment has a low energy content, such as the dark, deep sea. But where there is still fecundity, selection on females to be large. Normally, the larger a female, the more eggs she can lay. Huge size, however, will not help a male get more mates when they are rare and widespread. His mission is simply to find one and stick to it. Thus, in the kinds of anglerfish and relatives that are common on coral reefs or in the ichthyoid worms that feed by moving about and have a high rate of encounter, dwarf males simply do not exist. The male then becomes a tiny resident, not as a convenience to the female, but simply because this has been the most successful male tactic. It is a female dispersion, and the ability of males to control the precious few large female gametes that make males into chest-thumping gorilla boys, or degenerate dwarfs. For the better and the best is the bearer of superfluous and tiny gametes. The body is only a secondary concern. Access is all. This has been an essay on the natural history of sex. Join us next week as I, Dr. Howland Owl, will continue to explain The Mystery of the Birds and the Bees.
Instant. What do I mean by that? Gosh, I want to stop biting my fingernails. I want to be confident when I'm around. Biting my fingernails. Penetrate. Simple. Incredibly simple. You feel a little hurt inside. You might call it a broken heart. But here's the challenge. Well, you're looking at me with puppy dog eyes. Quit staring at me. I'm tickled pink. Pink. See, we don't experience reality. How do you feel? Some people get upset. Some get angry. Gosh, I'm scarred emotionally. You'd feel scarred. Convenient. I mean, think about it. Life is like a war. Maybe you better study. You know what? I'm blocking out. Psychotic episode. Huh? I was kind of dumb. And everybody thinks I'm so wonderful, but on the inside, I'm hard and I'm cold and I can't feel anything. Well, I'm at the end of my rope. You know what, baby? Another cold. Set yourself up. Barf. An American cult. Now I'm really confused.
More urine, please.
Mr. Worf, you have drank all the yak urine we can synthesize. Our replicators are breaking down.
Chicha.
Mr. Worf.
But it is a warrior's drink.
I'm going to have my diarrhea beamed directly to your plate.
Excellent. You honor me.
Mr. O'Brien, engage.
Right, 2 second delay.
No, now. Do it now.
Right, now in 2 seconds.
No, engage now, engage.
Right, in 2 seconds, engage.
No, not 2 seconds, engage.
Not 2 seconds, 2 seconds, engage. Right, engaging.
Hachicha, it is a warrior's dish. Captain, I need you in my quarters.
Make it so.
I need you to help me with the ancient ritual of Hak to Klak, or Klingon butt sex.
Computer. Lubricant. Earl Grey. Warm.
What have you done to the captain? You appear to have ruptured the captain completely. I am now commander of the Enterprise.
What about number one?
He will be my number two, if you get my meaning. That was a joke.
All right, what's going on in here?
You are no longer in command, Mr. Riker.
Well, what do you mean? Data, what's wrong with you?
I'm going to have to drop my trousers.
I will hold him.
No, what? Oh, no, please. What? Oh, God, Lord, no, please, Jesus. Oh.
I have ejaculated over 1,600 cubic milliliters of my own hydraulic fluid into his mouth, effectively killing him.
You have dishonored him.
You're next, Klingon.
Oh, I mean, good job.
Do wop the maga maga do wop the maga maga do wop the maga maga do wop bop bop do wop the maga maga do wop the maga maga do wop the maga maga do wop snuggly maga cuddly maga snuggly maga strip naked you.
magadoo, wop the maga magadoo. Oh, so sweet.
Joe Newman, the Rudy Schwartz Project. Who else? More on that at schwartztone.com. Before that, the Tasteless Star Trek from nationalcynical.com. Thanks to Phineas Narco for that. The background music right now was by me, Reverend Ivan Stang. The Bach that we heard earlier, Jazzy Bach, was by Kenneth New at www.kenneth.nu. And Norel Pref of norelpref.com did the cut-up. And now for such cut-ups, we use metal grinding tools.
The communication of metallic communion. The ecstasy of mechanism. Holding or mounting your work rigidly for checking, milling, drilling, shaping, grinding.
Boring.
Welding and pattern making. Yes, a quick, accurate adjustment to any desired angle. Set with protractor. Easy to use. 3 standard sizes. Experiments were also made with this blade set up as a trepanning tool in a drill press. It was found that only small discs could be cut out efficiently because the equipment became too heavy for enough stiffness to cut out the larger discs. Also, it was too messy a job because the white facing of the cardboard became soiled from oil and dirt. Cutting out by hand, as described, was the best way. And, of course, there was always the grinding of the small rods. The large ones ultimately give out, while the small ones continue and give the most satisfaction. Or so I've always been told by kind people.
You hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry.
But you had to do it anyway, didn't you?
She's a very powerful person, and I have been with a lot of women.
Obviously!
And she used me to teach us about the inevitability of human drama.
So? Is that where you get off the ride?
Hell no.
I didn't think so. Looks like you saw some truth.
Looks like you saw some truth.
What'd you see?
Well, the interconnection thing is definitely for real.
It is! Yes. I didn't think it was. It is!
I can't believe it. It's so fantastic!
It's amazing.
I know.
But it's also nothing special.
Yeah, because it grows from the manure of human trouble. You see, the detectives, they just wanted to gloss right over that. But in fact, no manure, no magic.
Did you hear some of that?
Some of it sounds pretty good.
I think this case is closed.
Is it ever really closed?
The fine love!
love to get your squid squirt, baby. Bob!
Bob is love.
Is love.
True facts are figments of your imagination.
Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about the future? The things that are happening in America today are like a Sunday school picnic. Are you tired of running against the powerful evil forces and about ready to give up? Many people in America today are walking down the journeys of this life, unmindful of the present turbulence, terrible, ruthless killers. Unless we have some rapid changes in our country, our easygoing life of 40 hours a week workload, 2 or 3 weeks of paid vacation a year will soon be over. They had to be annihilated.
I'll be here, baby. Baby, I'm a lover, not a Christian.
Proud murderers, rapists, traitors. This thought thrills my very soul. 12 inches. Get out. Teach sex.
I personally believe that premarital sex is necessary. And now we will go on to discuss 7 erotic zones of passion in every woman. The first one is
the TV world. Intersex, it's nothing more than a spawning house for sex, raw sex and violence, the front door to adultery. Ladies and gentlemen, addicted to government reports, legalizing marijuana.
The president of the United States has been killed. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of California has been killed.
Christians, they'll kill you. In fact, it's their policy to kill people frequently to keep the population terrorized. Take your children away from you. Take your children away from you.
Don't be bashful. Have some candy.
Cruel slavery.
Everybody, over here.
All right, keep moving. Move, I say. All right, right there now. Right there.
Strip a woman naked.
What do you mean it concerns me?
You must be joking.
You do not have a soul, but only a body. And when you're dead, you're dead. I dream of the hour when the last congressman is strangled to death on the guts of the last preacher. Does this turn your stomach? You'll be able to do nothing about it.
We will kill you.
And they will kill you, too. This goes on night after night after night. Things seem unreal. These things seem unreal. Communism is good. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be slaughtered like cattle, shot down like flies. Why don't you give it up? Why don't you give it up? We mustn't come just when we feel like it. Profit and pleasure. What about the almighty dollar? Many people love their money.
Where's my mama and my daddy?
Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
Fat hair wide here, tinkling the old ivories, and getting stuck into the old Joanna, setting the mood for love, baby. If music be the food of love, then enjoy my smorgasbord of sounds. Yeah. Hey, I tell you, I'm talking about pianos, right? My very sexy lady friend, Margaret, phoned me the other night. You know Margaret? Short dark hair, lives in Halifax, not short of a bob or two. Well, she was having a bit of trouble getting an old grand piano, which she bought, into her house, and asked me if I'd nip over there to York Cestershire, you know, in me soft top rascal, to give her a hand with all the removing and all that, you know. Well, as soon as I got to her big terraced house, I could see what the problem was. The piano was far too wide to get through her front gate. So, after a cup of tea, I asked her if she thought about, you know, taking it up the back passage. Well, she said she had considered it, but didn't think it would fit there either. Well, before she knew it, I had it out by the back door, and I told sexy Margaret to stand in front of me and to help me guide the old instrument in as I gently pushed it forward. Tell you what, one quick shove, and it was home. Well, after that, she then said she fancied it in the back room. I mean, she knew what position she wanted it in, up against the wall, with the old legs firmly on the carpet, you know. But I was so knackered, I told her I wouldn't be able to manage it unless I rested for a bit. Well, after getting my head down for a good 10 minutes, I was up like a rocket and quickly stuck it exactly where she wanted it, you know. Now, she then went to get two candelabras to put on top, and when she returned, I could not believe my eyes. I'm not kidding, I never knew she had such a big pair. Massive they were. And when I held them, you know, to give them the old once-over, I could see that one was slightly bigger than the other. Well, as it turned out, her boyfriend had given her one on her birthday, and so, would you believe, had her ex-boyfriend, Charlie. And she said Charlie's was about half an inch bigger, but when you put them side by side and looked at them, you know, at arm's length, you could hardly tell the difference. Well, at the end of the day, she was so thankful about the help that I'd given her and said she wouldn't have known what to do if I hadn't come that day. But you see, I'm always happy to lend a hand. Now, sexy Simone was moving the other day and she got me round there to help her shift, you know, a few items. First, the large clock in the hall. Baby. Well, I felt nervous about handling a grandfather with such a big dong. Still, I got a firm grip and indeed felt privileged to handle such a fine piece. Well, with a bit of assistance from sexy Samo, I soon had it out, and in broad daylight, took it up the back of my van and slowly slid it in. Now, I then asked sexy Samo if she was going to take her burglar alarm. She said she wasn't going to, as she'd never used it, and indeed had never had it on. She said she always had it off when she was at home during the day. And not only that, any night she went out, she had it off then too. Well, I was surprised that she didn't want to keep it. It was a very large and expensive model, which she had positioned just below her window upstairs. Hey, it looked lovely, it did. Many's the time I'd walk past her house, look up to her bedroom window, and admire her big box on full display. Funny what some people leave behind, isn't it? It really is, you know. But, I mean, you know, if you've got any children, perhaps, you know, teach them to play the piano because, you know, they'll enjoy it in later life. And that's why I'm fingering the keyboards at every available opportunity. Yeah, Fat Harry here at the keyboards. A little smoochy piano sounds for you, baby.
She comes and she goes, watching quietly on her toes, catching Bob's eyes. No surprise.
for Tommy Bob Martez on Enterprise. And Tommy comes and she goes and she strikes the sexy pose and Bob is entranced. She will dance. Bob walks away with swelling in his pants. Tommy, Joey, Bob Dubs can't get enough. Bobby's horny when Tommy shows her stuff. So Tommy comes and she goes and the scene wonder hose that's running down her leg wakes Bob bed. And that's when Tommy takes him down a peg. Here Tommy comes, there she goes, leaving Bob in the throes of orgiastic glee. Billy Bees, for Tommy is a sexual banshee. Tommy, Yoni, she hardly has good right. Bobby's horny, and that makes Tommy sigh. Now Tommy came and she's gone, but Bob's hardly alone as long as he has luck. She'll be back. Bob Dubs will always get another crack. And that's how Bob and Tommy gets slack.
Music to watch Connie by Popes Lilith von Fraumensch, dear friends. And before that, Fat Harry White fingering the keyboard of love. He's got a MySpace thing under the name Fat Harry White. Prior to that, a Norell Preth tribute to Negative Land. And the song before that, Bob is Love, Bob is Hate, was by King of Slack, Bill T. Miller. More at BillTMiller.com or KingOfSlack.com. Just some great stuff there. And a little bit of soundtrack from that movie, I Heart Huckabees. This is the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. For more information on the Church of the Subgenius radio shows, books, online courses, etc., see Subgenius.com. Which also has our mailing address upon it. And now, Lee Murr brings us a message from our sponsor. And Nero Manson will see us out. Praise Bob.
Ladies, here's a sensational beauty tip direct from Hollywood. When you want your hair to look its radiant best for an important date, do this the night before. Give your hair a glamour bath with
waist fat.
I certainly agree with that.
It leaves the hair simply gleaming with natural glossy
fats and oils.
And what's more, your hair stays that way for days.
Hold still.
The gun is penis. The penis is good. The gun shoots seeds. The deeds. The penis. Penis shoots good deeds.
Froppy,